WaveAct, the web-free software company that understands what you want.
Hi everyone, welcome at WaveAct. Today with Ayesha Mubarak Ali, who is Forbes 30 under 30, has her own studio and is co-founder of Meta Visionaries. And even more interesting, she sent her own art into space. And today we will talk about why creatives are more important than ever despite AI. So Ayesha, I'm super grateful for having you here. Thank you for that. It's actually our second time.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, sure. If you're, you know, you have a lot of very interesting things to say, so I want to give you the opportunity to do so. And yeah, I would say, before we start into this topic, is there something I missed maybe that you want people to let you know about yourself, or something interesting that you just did in the last couple of months that, I don't know, could be interesting to share?
Yeah, so first of all, thank you for the great introduction. I think you pretty much covered everything. But yeah, last few months, I've just been, you know, working in the same direction, you know. More and more initiatives on how to take more stuff to space, meaningful projects to space. So yeah, everything has been in that direction. Obviously, making a lot more use of AI in an ethical way, if I may quote. So that, and then obviously, you know, my own personal projects in custom machine learning. So if anything resonates within those domains, I would love to answer that.
Okay, cool stuff. Sure, let's do that. Well, when we talk about AI, right, obviously a huge topic, right? How did that actually affect your work, right? You have been a fusion tech artist before. So how did it affect you specifically, and how do you think it affects others? That would be interesting too.
Yeah, I think, you know, everyone would agree that AI has affected them either directly or indirectly somehow, because, you know, even if they're not AI artists, or even if, you know, we're not calling ourselves as direct users of AI, I mean, the way we consume information on the internet, the way we interact with information, you know, that has majorly shifted. And of course, that in return changes how people then view art in general, you know, because of this quick image processing, quick image generating, and this equal accessibility to do so for each one of us, I think it allows us to kind of, you know, rethink what art is, especially when I'm talking about the use of AI in creating art. So I think that's something, you know, me as an artist who has been interested, like even coming from that standpoint, you know, I've been working on AI and custom machine learning way before AI became mainstream, you know. So I was working before COVID, I was working on projects that brought together emotion mapping, data fusion, and data collection, like huge data sets, and turning them into some form of robotic fashion pieces and stuff like that. But my point is that, you know, having even that background, you know, it has majorly shifted how I see the world, how I then in return change that information, whatever I'm perceiving as an artist, and bringing it into my work. So like I said, you know, even if you're an artist or not, even if you're a content creator, video editor, you know, whoever you are, you know, AI has penetrated your lives, and you're just thinking how to use that.
Absolutely. As you said, it probably affected everyone, right? It's really hard to ignore right now. One thing that, you know, makes me think a little bit is, when you're an artist, a lot of the stuff that you do is based on your personal brand, obviously, but also on scarcity, right? How rare is something? And when we think about AI, and I would really love to hear your opinion on that, if you feed an AI with your past works, it can imitate your work, right? To some extent, maybe, you know. How do you view that specific aspect? And how it sounds kind of negative, right? Because it can actually replicate your work without you being there. What's your view on that?
Yeah. So, you know, when Midjourney came, I've been like using its all versions, and I've seen like it progressing and becoming better and better at kind of delivering what we're asking it. Obviously, prompt engineering has a role to play in how we kind of, you know, we are thinking about the artwork. So in a way, I would say at the end of the day, because we're now living in fast consumption, overwhelming, you know, role of images, because, you know, in the past, there was nothing of this sort. So scarcity and, you know, individuality of an artist was important. Okay, this is important to consider, because every artist has their identity, and that and their identity is derived from not just one piece, not just two piece, but how they live and how they reflect on their life, and then they turn that into art. So it's not just the art that you put out, okay? Otherwise, everyone is an artist. But as you've seen, you know, so little people are considered the academic artists or like the professional artists, the ones who get to show in the museums, galleries, like in a consistent manner. So I think with the AI now, all of that stays. It's just that because of, you know, this era where image itself has kind of lost the value. I mean, we used to have stock footages, you know, we used to download those memberships. We used to have those memberships, and we used to get the content for our daily usages. But now, if I want something, I would not go to Adobe Stock. I would just go to Midjourney and generate something, right? So I think today the definition of art has shifted. I think we all need to have a discussion on that. And then because it has shifted, then we have to re-question the role of artist in that. Because now, you know, the artist is more like a curator and the machine is an artist, you know? I would see it that way, even in my own projects. You know, I have past few projects that I've been doing, past few months, I've seen how my artistic practice in general, the fusion artwork or like the way I think, conceptualize a project, you know, that has shifted. And what I have started to do is, like, instead of me working on 10 concepts on a sketchbook, you know, that's how an artist thinks, storyboards, and, you know, you illustrate in your sketchbook, that's how you generate ideas, especially for visual artists. But now what you can do is, if you're obviously, you need to have some kind of writing skills, but now you can just type in a prompt, you can generate as many new, fresh ideas as you want, and then you can take it from there. So now it's up to the artist, the fashion designer, whoever you are, to take that information and process it. So I think for us, we should not see the AI art as the final product. You know, we should see whatever we generate through custom machine learning, because obviously we're feeding the artworks and then we're generating a similar pattern because we want to stay consistent as artists, right? So that process remains the same, but now it's just more efficient. So now you can generate as many ideas as you want. But then I think the question really is, what are you doing with all the information that you're getting? Like, you as a human being who is definitely above the AI, that's how I would like to think, right? Then how do you take that information and, you know, bring something new, some new element, maybe the way you do it, maybe the way you put it out, maybe the way it's displayed, maybe the way it's experienced. I mean, we have Metaverse, Oculus, so many different new things. So you have to think about the user experience. You have to think about the concepts. You have to think about the curatorial effect that brings together an audience. So I think there's a lot more to consider. It's not just like a picture that is the artwork.
Mm-hmm. That's now really interesting, right? When you talk about curation of artwork or that raw material that you get out of AIs, we see, or what I see already, are tools that also do some kind of that curation, like AutoGPT, for example, right? Which reiterate on their own output, which means if I'm a software developer, right? If the code doesn't work, it tries again. Takes the input, it doesn't work. Okay, try again. It makes it better, better, better. And that's something that I could really well imagine for artists or art in general too, right? If you have the information, let's say your style, your motivation, your life, as you said, as main origin for why art looks the way it looks, right? If you have that information somehow, then these iterative AIs could actually do that too. Or what's your view on that? And why do you think? Yeah.
Yes. So I think that's one thing. But then also, you know, what you talked about, I mean, people can see that more in ChatGPT, because obviously when we think about ChatGPT, that's something more universal. You know, Midjourney still has a very niche specific audience of content creators. But you know what you said, it definitely applies to all the incoming even AI tools that we're witnessing, that is happening. It's being put in use when it comes to video. Videos are becoming more and more efficient. I mean, I was using Runway ML that day, and I saw how you can basically bring an inspiration of a video that you like, the style, and how your own video gets shifted. The results are not phenomenal. I mean, I wasn't impressed. There was a few glitches, because obviously video is a much more complicated medium than an image. But at the same time, the way you see, like, the machines are learning based on our own feed and the data that we have on internet. So, I mean, it's about time that it will get better. But to answer to your question, I think the idea of reiteration basically is something that all the innovators, thinkers, artists need to think about, because I think essentially what AI is going to do is allow us to leave behind all the laborious work, right? Like just sitting and making 100 sketches. I mean, people still enjoy making the sketches, but that's another discussion. I mean, art can be therapeutic. But at the same time, if someone wants to now do that process efficiently, like making those illustrations for a fashion design, like it takes hours to come up with an original design. But now you can just fast forward, skip that. Obviously you can generate 10 more designs in the same time. But now you think about, okay, what's the best material to execute that? What's the best denim material, or what's the best net to use to create that effect that you saw? So I think the conversation is around that. But the custom ML is also something that I haven't seen much talked about. I mean, AI is everywhere, because AI is like actual tool that the company provides you. But behind that, how efficient the custom machine learning is, like I said, the Runway ML is giving you that, the way, you know, it asks you how much variation you want, what style you want, you know, so it is having those options. Midjourney is a bit different in terms of interface that utilizes it. But the point is that the reiteration, whatever you do as an artist, video editor, fashion designer, the AI is only going to accentuate that, you know? So it's just only going to bring out the best of whatever you're doing already.
You said a couple of interesting things. And one thing that comes into my mind is, you know, why are people buying art? You obviously know that much better than myself, right? But it's for emotions. It's because they like it, how it looks. It's because of the artist, because they like the person, or they want to support the artist, or whatever, right? Or it's a speculative object, whatever. And these kind of things, most of these reasons might not be doable by any kind of AI, right? Because you can make a picture of Mona Lisa too, it's worth zero, right?
Yeah.
So probably that's also a way to think about that, that artwork becomes maybe more, even more attached to a person. I don't know. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, so I'll actually give two opinions on this. One is definitely because, you know, art has many purposes. It's what you find in it. I mean, it can be functional art, like, you know, furniture design, fashion design, all of the utilities attached with art. So art can be functional, art can be a utility, art can be just for an experience. You can enter in a room that is filled with art, and that in that moment you experience art, and that's its purpose. I mean, you don't have to buy it, right? But at the same time, some people are collectors. They want to own it. They want to experience the same piece every day because it resonates with them to some level that might not be resonating to other people. So I think art discussion around art is quite subjective. So people, you know, buy it for all kinds of purposes. But, you know, at the same time, you know, having art and experiencing art, like I said, you know, it has changed its meaning. So again, it really depends on who is interacting with that, I would say.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely agree with that. Maybe let's step a step back, whatever. AI basically came when I think nobody really expected that, right? It was like ChatGPT was there and suddenly everyone used it and was everywhere. But before that, and that's when we actually got in touch, we had Web3, right? That was the latest large hype around there. So I think it's interesting to know how your view on NFTs and Metaverse in general. I see you still have Metaverse in your bio and everything, but how did your view on that change? Do you think it's still relevant to artists? And if so, how?
Okay, so Metaverse definitely had its hype period, just like NFTs, Web3 world, like we have seen all of that. That's when we actually connected. But I think Metaverse, to be honest, is still relevant to me personally, because see, with Meta Visionaries, this is what I actually discuss, and this is a conversation that how do you make a VR world, which is obviously developing in terms of how you experience the VR world, but then also through the headset quality. You know, I'm talking about the both things. So how do you navigate that by actually bringing some kind of impact in the metaverse? Okay, and that impact has to be long term. It can't be okay, you did a great event, but now what? Okay, so not many people would be interested, because at the same time, VR headset makes you dizzy after a few hours. It just makes you dizzy. So there are mental health issues attached with just the use of VR headset. But at the same time, if you can bring more value in that small usage time, I think that's where the catch is. So what we're working on is connecting the metaverse. And by the way, we built like a spaceship within the metaverse, where people can come, they can sit, collaborate with scientists, and they can have those meaningful discussions while creating and moving objects. Like if someone wants to learn how to move a spaceship and what are the different parts of a satellite or a rover, anything to do with space aspects, right? So they can do it. And we connected our metaverse with the actual International Space Station. Now, how did we do that? Through AI. So again, not many people would understand this connection, but the connection is there if you understand, because metaverse is also one form of a frontier technology, and AI is also. Now, AI cubes, we're working on AI cubes that has like custom algorithms in it. We were provided with that through our collaboration with Ice Cubes, because they are the professionals when it comes to designing those cubes. And those cubes, they also have like a hybrid digital version that is there in our metaverse. So we connected the actual cube that goes to the space, like through the SpaceX rockets, and our collaboration with NASA Gene Lab, to the ISS. And we have its duplicate, which is in our metaverse. Now, the idea is to connect the actual world with the metaverse and allow people who are in the different parts of the world to come in, learn, collaborate in the metaverse. And then what you do is, so then people can do scientific experiments, medical-related stuff, not just one field. And art is another one of them. So, you can actually have those interdisciplinary collaborations within the metaverse. You get to apply the knowledge in the actual physical labs, physical innovation labs, we're calling it, that are actually under construction. One is in Doha, one is in Saudi. So in those countries where this concept is quite new. And then connecting it to the actual space station, So this is, I think, one case where we can say that, yes, metaverse is still relevant. We're still talking about impact. We're still talking about education, interdisciplinary education. And at the same time, we're talking about the frontier technologies, which we have today, which wasn't there the last year, which we're having today. And we're thinking how to best add the custom chatbots, obviously, and ChatGPT, Midjourney in our metaverse so that we make it more efficient.
I really like that. And fusion art, fusion tech art, obviously it makes a lot of sense now, right? So what I specifically like about all that is you really seem to see all these innovations as tools and not as, you know, that's their thing and I'm now using that and only that, right? You look at all the things you have available, all the tools, and then you decide what's worth including into your project, right?
Yes.
And yeah, that's how it should be. And that's what usually gets lost in hype phases.
Yeah.
So you obviously did a lot of, from my humble opinion, cool stuff, actually. And I can imagine that you already have maybe a little fan club somewhere or somewhat like that.
It's no? hidden, I don't know, somewhere.
Maybe on social media, I don't know. So just thinking about, you know, usually the step towards actual having people actually admiring you isn't that large, right? Isn't that huge, because you obviously achieved a lot of really awesome stuff. And what would you say, for example, if a little girl, I don't know, age 12 years old, crosses, meets you on the street or whatever, and asks you how you did it, why you did it, if she can do it too, what would you say?
To be honest, I don't think I'm that, at that stage where I can advise, but I mean, I can try. You know, because the thing with advices is that, you know, you start idealizing someone. You know, I actually will give you a small example. When I got into Forbes 30 list, a girl actually messaged me on Instagram saying that, you know, I'm from Pakistan too, where you're originally from, and I'm quite inspired by your journey, and you're actually my role model. And I actually went in and found your Instagram handle after seeing your TV interview. And this was, to be honest, a quite inspiring moment for me as well, not just for her, but like me seeing those words as a message. So, you know, I would actually say, if this helps anyone, is that, you know, today is a time when any of your crazy ideas that you might have, they will be relevant, you know, whatever, like, you know, when I started, I actually thought I was crazy to think that fusion art is a thing, you know. I didn't have enough examples, and that's something that I just felt that I want to bring to traditions with the technology and somehow talk about fashion. I didn't know how to do it. In the start, the process was quite tough just because I didn't have enough examples, you know, for me to look at. But I think at the same time, anyone should be motivated, because today the access to knowledge is so much. And at the same time, the universities and educational systems are not going to teach you enough, because it's changing quite rapidly. So I think anyone who wants to do anything innovative, it should be self-learning. It should be somehow self-motivated, passionate, you know, direction that you take for yourself. So other than that, you have to keep up with what's happening, just like you and me. You know, one day it's Web3, other day it's AI. And we don't know how fast it's going to go, because every day we're seeing 10 more tools of AI on Instagram. And I, to be honest, I can't keep up, you know. Ooh. Even if I want to educate myself on all of them, I just can't, you know. So I think the education system is becoming way more irrelevant. It's all about your approach, what you want to do. And I think today is the best time for anyone to start anything they want.
Awesome. That's great to hear. Awesome. Maybe, as always, three key takeaways for people to remember from this.
Okay. So first takeaway should be that, you know, even if you think that space is something irrelevant for you, don't say that. It's not a foreign concept. Space is going to be relevant for everyone. Just see where it fits with you, but definitely start shifting the mindset. And start researching on space, because space economy is huge and space is the next frontier, okay? Second, like I said, self-paced learning, it's nothing that one person can teach you. It's a lifelong process. So learning should go hand in hand with execution and projects and everything else. Third is just, you have to start. There is no perfect project. There will never be a perfect project, and you will never know when the perfect project is. So just keep on going, and it's a process. If I'm on Forbes, it's because, you know, they saw my last 3 years journey as an artist. It's not because they liked one project or, you know, one picture. So it's definitely a journey, you know, now I'm sure.
That's even better, right? Than just having one thing and you done,
yeah,
you know. It's much more confirming, I would say. Yeah, cool. I would say that those are three great key takeaways for people to remember. And what I particularly liked is the second one. It's about execution. Don't just learn, read, whatever, which is great. But if you don't act on it, it's worth, I don't know, I wouldn't say nothing, but not much, right?
Yeah.
So with that, I would say thank you, Ayesha, for your time
thank you.
For sharing your bits.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Kevin.
Sure.
Wave Act, the web-free software company that understands what you want.